broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
He really does know that area very, very well. I believe he probably lives near all those
bodies.
Well,
then he started attacking me.
Are you afraid of dogs now?
Nope, just one
across
dog.
Across the nation, over 20 million Americans.
I was stopped by a security guard.
My butt would be raw.
My heart cries out for you.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go anywhere. We go places other talk shows wish they could and they can't. Yeah, that, you know what? We're just on point here, man. We are on point. We are the talk show that is on point. We are the talk show that, if to use this combat term, to use this military term, we're on point. We draw all the fire. We have to, show all the other talk shows where the enemy is, where those elements are that will foil a great show, where those elements are that will destroy great radio. We are the point radio show. We are the radio show that other radio hosts listen to. We are the radio show that other management people listen to. We are the radio show whose ass gets kissed at the NAB by all those suits. And like that. Anyway, what are you looking at, bud?
Well, you're kind of laying on a little thick, aren't you?
Well, it's Monday, man. All right. 877-876-PHIL is the number here. We have Margaret Gray and Dave Oliva joining us tonight. We're going to talk tonight about Augusta National Golf Course. Not about the Masters, although it was a tremendous Masters. And, Robert, you watch the Masters?
No, I don't watch that.
Yeah, he didn't watch here. He didn't want to be a caddy. Yeah.
Shut up, man.
All right. Well, easy, man. The Masters was, this year's Masters was tremendous, but we aren't going to talk really about the Masters. We're going to talk about media access to the locker room, female media access. Then we have Dave Oliva to talk with us about the contretemps here in Los Angeles that you probably have heard about across the country. And that was the violent treatment, brutal, and murderous, murderous treatment of a fan here in Los Angeles. 877-876-PHIL is our number, and our affiliate spotlight tonight on the great station KJCE, 1370 AM in Austin, and the great people in Sarasota, Florida, WTMY, 1280 AM, and also our website, philhendryshow.com. If you go to our website and you get a backstage pass, you've got live streaming video of our show right now. That's right, right now, and you can check it out and see us on HD Phil TV, as well as all of the archives, all of our podcasts, our news feed, other surprises, our store, and the new T-shirt, the Phil Hendry Show T-shirt, is in the store tonight. So get over and get a little bit of summer wear tonight at the Phil Hendry Show store. All right, I want to get on the line here right now. We're going to get Margaret Gray on the line. She is still in Georgia. As a matter of fact, I think she's in Atlanta, Georgia. She was at the Masters, covering the Masters for Dicklin Syndicate. And Margaret, good evening, and I know you're up rather late for us. I appreciate it very much.
That's all right, Phil. Really had an interesting time at the Masters tournament, and it was certainly something to behold. I'm not really a sports reporter, though.
But as my understanding is, you went to the tournament to watch history.
Well, not so much history as...
But it was a social issue for you, right? The lack of women in the club?
That is exactly right. We went to Augusta to get a feel, really, for this place called the Augusta National Golf Course. This is one of America's iconic places. It's one of America's iconic sports centers. The Augusta National Golf Course was originally designed by Bobby Jones, who never was a professional golfer. He was an amateur golfer, but was one of perhaps the greatest golfers to have ever stepped on a golf course. This is a man, Phil. I don't know if you've seen any of Bobby Jones's instructional films.
Actually, I have.
Then you've seen the control that this man had with the golf club and the golf ball.
Yeah, Bobby Jones could aim the golf ball right at the lens of the camera. That's how good he was. He would show people different shots.
Yes, it was uncanny. And he would hit the ball, and it would literally hit the lens of the camera.
He had great, great control. And he demonstrated that with a lot of different kinds of shots.
Well, and so we went to this place called Augusta to look at this edifice, if you will, Phil, this place of great history, and we were met with something very, very tragic. We were met with something that in many ways speaks to the distant past. And it is not a pleasant distant past. It is not the beautiful dogwood. It's not the beauty of the course. It's not the elegance of the clubhouse. It's the bigotry, Phil. And that is the way they treat women. They did not allow me in the locker room to interview this young man, Rory McIlvoy, even though men were allowed in. I was not allowed in because of the bigotry of the Augusta golf course. I was not allowed...
No, hold on. If you could just bear with me for a moment, Margaret, because I've got some news here, and I wanted to let people know that there was some question as to whether women were allowed, and that was absolutely, that was dealt with, and that is not true. As a matter of fact, we had some audio that we collected from, it was CNN this morning, and CNN was talking with Tara Sullivan, who is a reporter for the Bergen Record. She had originally been denied access to the golf course, but eventually that was cleared up.
I was stopped by a security guard who told me that women were not allowed.
Yes, right here. Listen.
This is my fourth Masters, so I have covered
right
it before.
Right here.
I don't even honestly remember. I'm sure I've walked through that locker room
right
before.
Here.
I've never really pursued that as an avenue for interviews. There are so many ways and places at the Masters to talk to the golfers. But I did accept the apology. Clearly, there was just
right.
a mistake made at that moment.
The issue
I would have with Augusta, the people who host and run the Masters, is that it's their responsibility that the tournament security week personnel they hire are informed of what the policies are.
All right, so but you see that they do allow women in the locker room there.
I was denied, hold on for a minute. I know Tara Sullivan, and I think she's very well spoken there. She was denied access to that locker room.
No, but that was a mistake. The security guard did not allow her in, all right?
And I was denied access to that locker room as well. Let's back up, Phil, and first of all, let's state who was there. I was there. Tara Sullivan was there. You were not. I don't want to be childish, but as my son, Jason J. Delmonico, would say, two against one is better than none. And I...
No, but I understand that, but what am I missing here?
Well, here's what you're missing. Augusta does not allow women in the golf course. I was denied access at...
Margaret, are you telling me you were also denied access? Because what happened was Tara Sullivan was let in. It was a mistake made by one of the security guards. Augusta released a statement today saying that they comport and conform with all of the policies and all of the regulations that all the other major sports do conform to. So other major sports, football, baseball, hockey, they allow women in the locker room, and the Masters does too. And
well, I am telling you, I was not allowed. How is it that I was not allowed in? All right?
You were not allowed in.
That is correct.
What was the reason given to you for not being allowed in?
The reason given to me was that I did not have my credential. But that is not the reason. The reason is I'm a what?
You didn't have your credential.
That, I'm losing my voice from yesterday. That was, first of all, Phil, I think you need to understand what's going on here. There is a narrative that we are trying to construct. The narrative is that the Augusta National Golf Course, and I'm losing my throat.
I'm sorry, you have a sore throat?
I have a little bit of a sore throat, yes, because yesterday, in the middle of everything else, trying to get into the locker room, trying to secure the credentials to watch the tournament, interviewing people as to why it is they don't allow women to play on the course, and then some other things that will cause a woman's throat to dry up. I've had a very difficult 24 hours, Phil. If I could just get a sip of coffee.
Go ahead, Margaret. Margaret Gray joining us here on the Phil Hendry Show as we talk about the Masters Tournament.
Women are not allowed in the locker room. Are they actually allowed in the locker room? The answer is yes. They let her in. They let me in. But the narrative that we are building here is that women are really not allowed in the locker room. And why are we building that narrative? Because women are really not allowed to play at Augusta. That is our major point, Phil. I know that Tara Sullivan would join me. I know that any woman who reported on the Masters would join me.
Well, hold on now. You're saying that your narrative is that women are not allowed, women are allowed in the locker room, but you want to tell, you want people to believe they're not.
We want, yes, and people will believe that they're not. And the reason is because the overall point and the overall truth is that women are not allowed to play at Augusta National Golf Course, and that is just dead wrong. That is absolute bigotry that harkens back to a time when a man was tied to a whipping post.
When, all right, now, before we get as far into the drama of that...
No, I'm not being dramatic, Phil, and I don't want to be dismissed.
No, I'm not dismissing you, Ms. Gray. Honest to God, I'm not dismissing you. But I think when you say a man tied to a whipping post, we understand that there are still areas of inequality.
This is Augusta National Golf Course we're talking about, and they don't allow women. They don't allow women. You're hearing me, right?
I'm hearing you, yes.
That is something that harkens back to a time when a woman was expected to stand in the kitchen cooking a meatloaf and standing in the tragedy of that, the tragedy of standing there with a meatloaf or what have you. I'm trying to put it in a way that you'll understand.
I understand what you're saying, that your main point is that it is wrong that women are not allowed to play at Augusta National Golf Course. You find that wrong.
And yes, I do.
All right, but what you're saying is, and what it was dishonest is, that women are also not allowed in the locker room. And one of the things that we believe in on this program, because we have so much dishonesty in this world, we've got politicians that lie to us, we've got presidents that lie to us, we have, we have given our trust and we have given our money over to people that are supposed to take care of it, and then we find that they've lied to us. Now, in the middle of all of that, you want to tell me that women are not allowed in the locker room at Augusta when you know full well, yes, they are.
Bill, you're missing the overall.
No, the overall may be what?
The overall is that women are not allowed to play at Augusta National Golf Course.
And well, it's a private course, okay?
It is a private course that does business with the public. Oh, now I've got you. Now I've got you. This is good. I've got you now. I thought you believed in people's rights.
I do. I just made a point that it's a private course.
It's a private course that does business with the public by way of the Masters Golf Tournament on CBS. Oh, man. Yeah, I got it. I just told Frank that you made a big mistake.
And Margaret, I understand the notion of doing public business, and that means that you are under the aegis of the civil rights legislation. Is that what you're talking about?
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
All right. I just pointed out it's a private course so people know. But you're right. If they do... everything that you're saying here is a smokescreen. You can't say they don't allow women in the locker room there when they do.
When you keep saying that, what you do is you obfuscate and you blow away a smokescreen that is a very valuable smokescreen. This is not a smokescreen of lies. This is a smokescreen that is going to help our women achieve equality, and that is to say that women are not allowed in the locker room in Augusta, even if they are. That is to keep filling in the minds of a young girl, as well as a woman, that Augusta, at the very end of the day, represents discrimination, it represents bigotry, and it represents a pulling back to the past of women. And so, no, they don't allow women reporters in the locker room. No, they don't.
Yes, they do. What you're saying is a lie.
It is a lie in service to a larger truth, and that is they don't allow women to play golf there, do they?
Margaret, what you're saying is a lie about...
Do they allow women to play golf there, yes or no?
Ms. Gray...
Yes or no?
They do not.
Uh-huh. It is bigotry. And I... Phil, I swear to God, you know something? I'm so sick of it. I am so sick of what has happened to women in this country and continues to happen to women in this country. I swear to God, someone's going to die.
Whoa.
I'm sorry I said that.
What does that mean?
It just makes me angry, and I'm telling you, something looks at me the wrong way.
Frank, are you there?
I'm here, Phil. I she needs to calm down, that we all need to calm down.
The idea that she wants to promote a lie in service to the truth, as she says. Let's take a break. Margaret Gray, who says they don't allow women in the locker room at Augusta, and she doesn't care if she's lying or not, because the way they treat women at Augusta, any lie that serves the larger truth is good. And you just heard what she said. She's so tired of the way women are being treated. Someone's going to die? 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Henry Show here, and we'll be right back.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Joining us is Margaret Gray, who is at Augusta. She's actually in Atlanta tonight, was at Augusta yesterday for the Masters. You're getting into an area here that I've no problem with, Margaret, here on Radio 4 Patriots by Patriots, and that is discussing the rights of people. But you're willing to lie to further your point.
Yes, I am, Phil. Yes, I am. I am tired of...
Well, hold on, because this is where you part company with me. You know...
Well, you have the luxury of all of these nice things. Here's where you part company with me. I don't really approve of this, Margaret. You are not a woman. You're not black. You're not Hispanic. And
well, you're not black or Hispanic either. All right?
But I am a woman, and I know what we have had to deal with. I know the price that we've had to pay.
But the point that I'm making to you and to my audience, what good do you do when you have to lie to further the truth?
It is not a lie to say that women are discriminated against at Augusta. All right? It's not a lie to say that women are not allowed to play golf there.
All right, but it is a lie to say that women are not allowed in as reporters into the locker room.
Not to the extent of yesterday. I was not allowed in. Now, it's true that I'd forgotten my press credential, but you cannot deny the fact that I was not allowed in. I was not allowed in. Are you hearing me?
You weren't allowed in because you didn't have your press credential. Is that right?
I was not allowed. Let's just stop the statement that I was not allowed in. Let's stop there. And
you can't stop there.
Oh, yes, I can, and I really have to tell you, Phil, I'm very tired of being a woman and being told what I can or can't do by a man. And
all right, I'm not telling you you got to do anything, Ms. Gray, but I'm saying that if you want me to take you seriously, when you say, let's stop, I was not allowed in.
Let's stop at that statement. I was not allowed into the locker room at Augusta. That's a true statement. Is it not also true that women are not allowed to golf at Augusta?
That's true.
Why?
It's a private club.
Well, no, it's not, because they do business with the public. Oh, boy, that feels good to be able to say that.
It's a private club because they do business with the public through the Masters Tournament. Is that what you're saying?
That is correct.
All right. Then I would say the following thing. As long as they don't run afoul of the law, the Masters can do anything it wants. I don't know that they're denying access to women. Are there women members?
I don't see any women out there golfing.
Are there women members?
I don't see any women out there golfing.
So you don't want to answer my question?
I just did answer your question. I don't see any women out there golfing.
Do they discriminate against women at Augusta?
I did not get into the locker room after the tournament.
You didn't get in because you told me that you had no press credential.
I tell you, Phil, the way women have been treated down through the years, and I'm going to say this as delicately as I can, but if someone looks cross-eyed at me tonight, I swear to God.
What is all this anger? I mean, if you're really angry...
What is all the anger? Do you know that not too long ago, a couple of weeks ago, we actually observed the anniversary of the Triangle Shirtwaist Fire. Do you know who died in that fire?
A lot of women. You're absolutely right. A lot of women. They were garment workers.
You better believe it. You better. A lot of women died that night. And guess what? 100 years later, Augusta. What's the difference?
Oh, man, that's wrong. Is lying to serve a truth a good thing? The Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL.
Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Hold on. Welcome back. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. To serve a greater truth, is it okay to lie, is really what we're talking about here, Margaret, because you want to say that you were not allowed in the locker room after the Masters yesterday, even though you were. I know you were not allowed in initially because you didn't have your press credential, but you were allowed in when they found your press credential. You were not denied access to the locker room because you're a woman, but you want people to believe that. Why?
Because that's essentially the philosophy of the Augusta Golf Course. They don't want women anywhere near there.
But it isn't true. It isn't true. They let women in. They may not allow women as members. And we can talk about the reasons for that, you know.
No, we cannot talk about the reasons why they will not allow women for members unless we can make it somehow worse so that people can pay attention.
And what happens, Margaret, when people say to you, you're lying? Why are you lying to me? Why can't you just say that they will not allow women as players? Why do you have to add on they will not allow women as reporters in the locker room? Why the need for that lie? Other than the fact that it serves a greater truth. What are you going to say to someone when they say you're lying? I know they do.
The average woman especially and the average man need to have this. I can't find any other way to say it. They need to have this shoved right in their faces. Most people, as long as life is serving them well, most people don't hear that scream in the distance. Most people don't hear the horrifying, blood-curdling scream of a woman who is being kept off the golf course at Augusta. Most people don't hear a woman crying for help in the night because she can't golf.
That really is disgusting.
I beg your pardon.
To use the image of a woman screaming into the night because she can't golf at Augusta.
That is what is happening psychically to every woman in America. How dare you judge me? How dare you judge me? I'm the one that was.
I'm going to take a phone call, and I think that that's. I'm sorry. I just think that's unconscionable.
How dare you judge me? I was the one that was not allowed access into that locker room yesterday. I was the one who, yes, Phil, was left standing to scream and bleed. In a very figurative sense and in a very symbolic sense, but nonetheless.
877-876-PHIL. How do you women feel about another woman saying that not being allowed to golf in Augusta is like being left to scream and bleed on a corner? 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Corey in Topeka. Go ahead, sir.
Two things. Number one, this person is damaging her own credibility by falsifying facts to support her own conclusion. Ma'am, I understand your cause, and you have a right to have a cause, but to lie and twist facts in order to support your own conclusion destroys your own credibility. And then to, in turn, threaten physical violence on someone makes you a domestic terrorist.
I did not threaten any violence on any individual.
No, this man's right. You did in a very general sense.
I simply expressed, do you love it? I'm a woman, I'm not allowed to be angry. I love it. I'm a woman, and I'm not allowed to be angry.
You have every right to be angry, but to sit there and state someone is going to die over this is threatening physical harm on a person to their life, and that makes you a terrorist, ma'am.
I feel the way women are treated in this country, I am telling you, Corey, and I'm saying this to you as honestly as I can, I swear to God, if I see one more woman kept out of a locker room who needs to report on a golf tournament. You're right. I'm going to put my hands on someone, and I'm going to take someone's head off.
Were you held out of that locker room because you were a woman or because you did not have your press credentials, yes or no? Which way?
Because I was a woman.
That's a lie. That's a lie.
That is not a lie.
That is an absolute lie. You said you were held out of that room because you did not have your press credentials.
But the overall is what I'm talking about. Don't you men know what I'm talking about? The overall? The real
the overall. The overall is that you are modifying facts to support your own
yes.
cause, which in turn
Absolutely.
Creates you to be a liar.
That is a very... Well, you really like to throw the insults around, don't you?
Margaret, you know, you're never going to get for women the things that you want for women when it comes to Augusta or anything else. If Augusta doesn't allow women, this is, as I said, something we can talk about. But you haven't allowed us to do that. You want us to talk about something that doesn't exist. They don't allow women in the locker room. Bull crap. You know, you not being allowed in the locker room as a woman standing there bleeding and all of that stuff. Bull crap. These are things that ultimately, I think, ultimately hurt your case. And
well, Phil, let me explain something, because I don't think you or any of the men listening to your broadcast, I don't even think a lot of the women understand. Because I know I'm talking to a late-night audience of women who are generally up late at this hour because they've spent all day doing for other people, and now they have a few hours to themselves, a few hours to themselves to listen to the radio, to do some reading, to do some dishes, perhaps to sit and do some knitting, I don't know, to do some writing. I am talking to those women, too, and to the men that love them. Was I allowed into the Augusta Golf Club, into their locker room? The answer to that question initially was no.
And but why?
Will you allow me to finish? God.
Well, watch your language.
I'll watch my language when you... Was I allowed into that golf locker room, yes or no? The answer is no.
Because you didn't have your press credential.
Would you please... Phil, I...
Margaret, either you're going to tell the truth or you're not.
Would you please shut your mouth?
Now it's my turn. How dare you?
How dare you continue to talk that way when I'm trying to get a point out? Shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. You want to hang up on me? Go ahead. Hang up on me. That's what men do. When men can't control women, they just shut them down. Go on.
No, I'm not going to hang up on you. I think allowing people to hear you does you more damage.
Big man.
877-876. Phil is our number. Let's go to another phone call here. On the line is Kathy in, I believe this is Richland, Washington. Go ahead, Kathy. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Margaret Gray.
Yeah, I just wanted to say to Miss Gray that I don't think she's a very good representation of a woman, actually, that's got a lot of good sense. She acts like she's, like, off her medication or something. And
well, that's a very cheap shot. What does that mean? I don't understand that.
I don't understand why you think you should be allowed in the locker room when you didn't have sense enough to bring your pass. Why they wouldn't let anyone in without their pass? It has nothing to do with you being a woman.
Well, I'll tell you why. Because Augusta National Golf Course, which is a monument to golf in this country, it is considered, as you know, Kathy, almost a shrine to golf in America. Why not allow women to play on a course as lovely and as significant as that? Are we Americans? Yes, we are Americans.
I don't know a lot about the course or anything like that, but if it's private, then private organizations have a right to do what they want, regardless
not
of what
if
anybody
they're doing
thinks.
Not if they're doing business with the public, and in televising the Masters, they're doing business with the public. Score it. That's 3 points. That's from the top of the arc.
Oh, big deal. All right, look, you made your point.
I just don't understand why, you know.
And the second
I don't see it as a women's... I just don't see it as a women's issue.
Oh, it is. We have every right in the world to golf at that golf course. When I was kept out of that locker room...
Well, see, there you go. We have every right in the world to golf at that golf course when I was kept out of that locker room. There's two different issues here that you keep muddying the waters with.
No, I am not. And Kathy understands what I'm saying. Not being allowed in that golf course, in that locker room, is the same as not being allowed to golf.
Not being allowed in the locker room as a reporter is
that
not the same.
That does not even make any sense.
You don't sound like you're not rational. Let's go back to what you had just said earlier, because I want to go back to that. I'm off my medication. I got to tell you something. That takes so much guts. I almost want to say you're a man.
That, you know, Margaret.
I don't have anything else to say. I don't know. I don't think you're being a very good representative, and you're not acting very sane to me.
And you laugh at that? You laugh at my insanity?
Yeah, that's what we do. Thank you very much, Kathy, for your call.
Phil, I just let the record show that a woman that came on your program on this day, the 10th or the 11th of April, I forget which, do you have another date?
Not handy, no.
What's the date?
I don't know.
Thank you very much, Rick. On this date, April the 11th, the year of our Lord, 2011, a woman came on your program and said that women should have the right to golf at Augusta, and you and a woman from Richmond, Washington, who was up early to bale some hay or whatever she's doing, said I was mental. That hurts.
Margaret, I did not say that. The lady said that.
No, but I want all the other women out there that are sitting on their hands and that are going, you go, girl, but they're hiding in a closet. You know who you are. You know who you are. Hiding in a closet, sitting on your hands, rooting me on from, you know, under your sheets with the flashlight while you're doing whatever it is your husband wants you to do down there.
And all right, hold the line. Our number is 877-876-7445. We're talking here with Margaret Gray, who is a writer for the Dicklin Syndicate. She's at the Masters in Augusta. She is calling in to decry the women not being allowed to golf at the Masters. But in so doing, she's come up with a whole bunch of other horse dung, like she wasn't allowed into the locker room, and she had to push her way in. And the place, you know, it's like it's some sort of, she makes it sound like it is some kind of a horror den for women because they can't golf at Augusta. As women, do you care? Our number, 877-876-PHIL. She's also done something that here on Radio for Patriots by Patriots that we totally stand against, and that's lying in the service to a larger point. That's what gets this country in trouble every time. Well, I'll go ahead and tell a little white lie, because at least that's going to further my all-around fantastic point. Well, no, it ain't. 877-876-7445. Still to come tonight, Dave Oliva on violence between sports fans, plus the News Hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Don't that make you want to eat your flathead?
Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Okay, this is it. When I die and they lay me to rest. You know that song.
Well, that's not Spirit in the Sky.
Yes, it is. Who is the man that plays the music?
That's Rick, and he's right now, I don't want to bother him with that. I'd like to get back to our point. We have some phone calls to get to. Our number, 877-876. Phil, Margaret Gray on the line with us, was in Augusta, and she was at the Masters, and she was, she claims, not allowed into the locker room. Yes, you were.
I was, yes, eventually, after I pushed my way in. Phil, I have been, I actually, if you want to call it something, I bum-rushed the door.
You didn't bum-rush anything. You were allowed in when your credentials showed up.
All right. Thank you very much, Gene Dixon. You know who Gene Dixon was, don't you?
No, I don't.
Where you been? She was a psychic. And you sound as if you psychically have melded with me.
You told me that your credentials got there, and I think it's dishonest to say you were not allowed in the locker room when, in fact, you were. Augusta may be a lot of things. Don't misstate what they are. Here is Chris in Alaska on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Chris. You're on with Margaret Gray.
Hi, Margaret.
Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
We can hear you very good, Chris, yeah.
Okay.
Hi, Chris, yes.
Hi, I just want to, Margaret, I understand what you're doing, and I'm very happy you're trying to fight for women's rights and everything, but lying is never the right way. Lying is never right. It always comes to bite you in the ass.
Really? And what about when Bush lied to get us into Iraq?
Bush did not lie.
The issue at hand is lying about this to get us. Wait a second, we're not going to bring the bad people in.
What are you laughing? You know, I love how you laugh. I love how you laugh at the fact that a woman like myself, all right, was kept out of the locker room to report on what happened. And in a way, I feel as if I've been violated physically.
See, that kind
I'm
of bull crap.
I'm sorry you feel
just
that way, but that's not going to, that lying is not going to get you there. And you should, I mean, women should be allowed to golf at that course. And if they're not, then that's sad. That is sad.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that, yeah. And
you're a big conservative, Mr. Henry. Since when do you care about women?
I care about civil rights. I care about civil liberties. I agree with that. But what I don't agree with is exactly what Chris is saying. Why do we have to lie?
Let me tell both of you something, all right? Ronald Reagan was shot in an assassination attempt back in 1981. He walked out of the limousine, and as he was walking out of the limousine into the hospital, he was saying things like, wow, you know, I feel great, and I'm walking. As soon as he got inside the hospital, he collapsed in a pool of blood and vomit.
Yeah.
Why did he lie? Why did he pretend like he felt good? That was a lie. Chris, I'll go to you first, then fill you back her up.
Well, whoa, wait a minute.
No, I want to know what Chris has to say about Ronald Reagan lying.
Ronald Reagan was the president of the United States, and he was obviously trying to let everyone feel better about the state of his health, and he probably felt like he could walk. And when he finally did get into the hospital and he did collapse, I don't know that it was in a pool of blood and vomit.
You lifted your leg to it.
I don't understand how these issues are related, but I'm just saying if you want to make a good stand for women, we need to be honest. I mean, I've worked with men all my life, and the way you get respect is by being honest and putting your head to the grindstone, and you put in about as much work as they do, and you get respect.
You know what? You know what's something I like you about, Chris? I really do. You are precious. You are precious. And I love your attitude. And when you say put your head to the grindstone, you know what you're talking about, and I know what I'm talking about. So let's get real. You're talking about men, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was
all right, and when you're talking about men and putting your head to the what?
Oh, will you come on?
Well, let's get real. And I'll tell you something else. She's laughing. And it's for a young woman to laugh at the battle for women's rights.
She's laughing at the fact that you're going into these, you know, you're pretty sick and twisted in the way you say things.
Oh, really? Is this sick and twisted? Chris, tell me if I'm wrong. You've worked around men your whole life. Are they liars or are they not? Are they liars or are they not?
I think men are decent, and if you work as hard as they do, you will be respected.
You know what? I think you're precious, but you're lying. You know that I know you're lying.
Everybody's a liar here tonight, Margaret, except you. Everyone's a liar except you.
She knows full well that men lie. God, do they lie. Here's a lie for you. Here, you want to hear it? I had a vasectomy right after my marriage. You want another one?
All right. I think you did acquit yourself very well, Chris. I don't think there's any winning this argument.
Chris, I think you're a wonderful girl. I think you have a lot to learn, that's all.
All right, Chris, thank you very much. 877-876-PHIL. And we have time for one more call here. We've got, I think it's Kerwin. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Kerwin in Atlanta.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
My uncle has been a member of Augusta National now for about 30 years. And he has taken me up there many times. And
at last, we have someone who knows what they're talking about.
I've worked as a security guard at several PGA Tour tournaments. And I can tell you for a fact, at Augusta National, there are over 300 women members who golf on that golf course regularly on a very daily basis. And two, as being part of security...
What's your source of information for that, please?
I see them out there playing.
You see?
I'm out there physically...
He sees them...
seeing them playing. There are hundreds of women who play at Augusta National. Now, when you're talking about tournaments, as security guard, I can tell you for a fact, no one in the actual physical crowd is allowed into certain areas without proper credentials. I don't care who you are. Security guard, if we don't have our credentials with us, guess what? We're not allowed
in. Far out to me.
Kerwin, thank you. Thank you for clearing that up, Kerwin. I appreciate that, brother. Thank you for giving us a call. And that gentleman is a security guard out there, so I think he knows.
Sounds pretty far out to me. 300 women all at once trying to tee off.
He didn't say that.
Phil Hendry.
It's like going out there on a day with a lot of Koreans around.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
He was a little out there. He was saying hi and bye to the walls, and he...
For a woman to go to a doctor like this looking for help with weight loss,
across
which is...
the nation, over 20 million Americans...
We went out, the officer found marks on the son's upper torso.
This is not funny.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. Along with me here tonight, Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. In another hour, we'll have our news and comment hour. This hour, Dave Oliva, who's an aspiring Los Angeles police officer. He's also a student at L.A. Canyon College. We're going to talk a little bit about something that has happened locally, but it affects you guys across the, all of us across the country, wherever we live, wherever we go to see sporting events, wherever we take our children and our families, our wives, and we don't want to see this kind of thing. And I'm going to tell you something. If there is one thing that causes my heart to break, when I see fights in the stands, when I see this kind of violence in the parking lots, when I see, and I know that not all of you are subjected to this. Many of you live in communities where people act like human beings. Many of you live in communities where people are respectful, even though they're opposing fans of opposing teams. But in some communities where it's, and I believe personally, I think a lot of this violence starts in these communities where there have been long-standing rivalries between some of these clubs. Nothing breaks my heart than to see children that are witnessing this violence between adults. And I just think it's a horrible thing to see. So tonight we're going to have Dave Oliva on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show to talk about that on Radio 4 Patriots by Patriots. And don't forget, even as our good friend Carlos Santana is playing away the night, together we stand, divided we do fall. But together we continue to move forward. And that's what we do here on Radio for Patriots by Patriots. Now, our Patriot line is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And we'll get Dave Oliva up on the line here in just a moment. What happened here in the city of Los Angeles last week, it was during, it was right after, I should say, the opening game of the season for the Los Angeles Dodgers was unacceptable. It was grotesque, to say the least. And something that the citizens of this city and the Dodger fans and Giant fans do not want to see repeated. And that was the beating of a fan by another fan, a Dodger fan beating this Giant fan, Brian Stowe. The poor man is in a coma now. The individuals that perpetrated this outrage are still out there on the loose. And motorists lined up at Dodger Stadium this afternoon to donate money for Brian Stowe. Hundreds of people participating in a fundraiser at Dodger Stadium to benefit Brian Stowe, the Giant fan brutally beaten after the home opener 2 weeks ago. Motorists lined up at the stadium to drop off cash and checks for a relief fund for this hospitalized paramedic. An emotional Los Angelino talks to KTLA Channel 5 about why he's donating money to the relief fund for Brian Stowe.
I couldn't believe this. I feel bad for his kids. I have kids of my own. I felt that I had to come down here and give something, you know, a little bit of something. And my family feels real bad. My daughter, everybody was in school today and they wanted to come with me. But, so I said, I'll come in on behalf of our family to come in. Hopefully people will see that this was wrong what they did. I'm a native. I was born and raised here, and we've never done this before. And I get kind of upset about that. So, you know, this was just sad to see. I couldn't believe that all this was happening here in our town. And there's better people than that here in L.A. And I know this will never happen again.
I totally agree with that gentleman, what he said there. Our number, 877-876-Phil. Dave Oliva joins us. Dave is going to L.A. Canyon College. And, Dave, you're aspiring to be a Los Angeles police officer, correct?
Oh, yes, sir, that's correct.
And you're also taking criminal justice and law enforcement?
Yes, sir. I'm taking a combination of classes. I'm taking criminal justice, law enforcement. I also take forensic psychology, forensic psychiatry. These are just, they're not required, but it's part of what I feel is necessary, you know, to for a well-rounded education for eventual career in law enforcement.
Now, Dave, you know, there's been an awful lot that has been said about what happened at Dodger Stadium 2 weeks ago with this poor man, with the violence bestowed upon him, the alcohol, perhaps, the lack of security, perhaps, the fact that there was no, a lot of fans witnessed what happened, and a lot of fans did come forth and did talk to the police, but there was no real protection for Mr. Stowe. No one really came to his aid, and I suppose that's understandable to a degree. Can you give me some perspective as to who you think it was that did this crime, and just you as somebody that's going to be a member of law enforcement at some point in this city and talking to a national audience, what you would have done to have prevented it?
Thank you. Well, I did a partial paper on this, Mr. Henry, for my law enforcement class, and I think I need to let everyone know, because I know that you're broadcasting your show tonight, you know, across America, that I, too, joined with the gentleman that I just heard speaking, that I, too, joined in saying this was just the worst thing that I would ever want to see happen at Dodger Stadium, and I hope that they do catch the perpetrators that did this. That having been said, I think there's a couple of things that you would want to know. First of all, the people that are Dodger fans are very loyal fans. They're very, very loyal fans. They go back many, many years. And they go all the way back to, like, Brooklyn, New York, some of them, you know, as well as the New York Giant fan, or San Francisco Giant fan. I mean, they go all the way back to New York, you know. And I don't know if you know this, Mr. Henry, but when they were Brooklyn and New York, they were still, you know.
No, they've been rivals for a long time.
Yeah, they've been rivals for ever since, even then, you know, what they used to call a subway series or something like that. So one of the things the Dodgers and all of the football and baseball teams can do. Let me repeat this. All of the football and baseball teams, don't let people leave the games early, because that will tend to anger the very hardcore fan who loves these teams so very deeply. And when they love a team so deeply, and like, I mean, it's almost like my Catholicism kicks in, you know, and nobody bothers the Sancti, you know, I just want to...
What did you just do? Did you just bless yourself?
I did, yeah. My Catholicism just sort of came over me, because when I think of the Dodgers, I think of, I think of our Blessed Virgin Mary. You know, may she protect them and make them be, you know, like win every World Series. I mean, that's not realistic, you know. But
okay, I don't want to, you're talking like a fan now, though.
No, I know that, but I'm just saying, I feel so deeply about that when I see people leave the game early, I don't know, it just... You know, it makes me mad. Now, because I'm an aspiring police officer, I'm not going to do anything about it, but there are some other ones, a lot of them are alcoholics, maybe not, I don't know, who do get pissed, excuse my language.
Go ahead.
Who, they get pissed off.
So you're telling me that people that are, and welcome to our show, Phil. It's welcome to your show, Phil. I'm talking to myself.
Hey, Phil.
Yeah. No, welcome to our show. It's the Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. You're saying that individuals that leave the game early anger the average fan, and so therefore they're angry when they leave the game?
Yeah, they hit the parking lot after the game, especially if the team loses. you're like, I stayed to watch that, and it was an abomination, you know, it was an abortion. I stayed to watch that abortion. Now I'm out, and some other dude was smart enough to leave early. He's gone. He's on the freeway way ahead of the traffic, and I'm sitting here having to wait on, you know, some excuse my language, but some dumbass in his truck. So that will make you angry. The second thing I think is important, Mr. Henry, is these football teams and baseball teams or hockey or whatever, you have to do everything you can to win and to be the champion that you can be for your people. Because if you're not, that is going to make the people so angry, especially when they support you so much. And then you go out and you stink and you go, yeah, okay, that's the end of the season. Sorry. I mean, are you kidding? You're going to send people out really pissed off about that. Number three.
Now, hold on for a minute, because you're telling me that the team is to blame for a lot of this violence.
Well, no.
Yeah, no, you are. You're saying if the team lets people out early, that pisses off the hardcore fan. If the team doesn't win, that pisses off the hardcore fan.
Well, yes, sir, I am.
So you're blaming the team for the beating. In this case, you're blaming the Dodgers for the beating of Mr. Stowe.
Well, I mean, the Dodgers are special because the Dodger fan is like, you know, Dodger blue. Blue is the sky, man. You know, I don't even know how to describe it. It's very religious, and it's very, you know, mi madre. And
look, let's leave the Catholicism out of it, if you don't mind.
Okay, but I mean, I'm not trying to say. I'm just saying it's very religious for me.
Okay, let's leave the Catholicism. You know, I'm Catholic.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, but I don't bring it to the game with me. You know,
well, I mean, I don't either, Mr. Henry. I'm saying that as a member, I want to be LAPD, you know, and I'm going to have a plastic Jesus probably on my dashboard forever, you know, as long as I'm alive.
And that's a very wonderful thing, man. But I don't know that I would rather keep the religion out of it. We're talking with Dave Oliva, an aspiring LAPD officer, about the beating of fans, the violence at games, the violence visited on fans who... Here's a guy that was in the Giant jersey, and the guys that beat him were in the Dodger jerseys. And you had a point to make about that?
Yeah, well, the point I was going to make about that is home jersey wins. I think that if fans are getting into it, if they're jawing at each other and this and that, home jersey wins. In other words, I will say something to you. If I'm in a Dodger jersey and say you're in a Giant jersey, if you say something to me, no. If you're in a Giant jersey, I'm in a Dodger jersey.
Yeah, I'm in the Giant jersey, you're in the Dodger jersey.
Okay. You're in the Dodger jersey?
I'm in the Giant jersey.
You're in the Giant jersey. I'm the Dodger jersey. You say something to me, and I say something to you. You say something to me. Okay, now I'm going to say something to you because I'm in a Dodger jersey. Home jersey wins.
Meaning that you're going to have the last word.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all fine and good in polite discussion. How is that going to work out there in the jungle of the parking lot after a game when people are hammered, drunk out of their minds, really angry, as you said, you know?
Well, one of the teams going to be angry, but the others are not going to be angry.
Well, that's fine, man, but I'm telling you, suppose the Giant guys lose, and the Giant guys are pissed, all right, and it's me and you.
Okay.
I'm pissed, I say something, then you say something, then I say something.
Okay, stop right there. Then I say something, that's it.
Yeah, well, what if I say something anyway?
But that violates the rule, that home jersey wins.
Yeah, well, I just violated the rule.
Okay, in that case, then I got to beat ass, you know?
I see. So then you're going to beat my ass.
Yes, sir.
And do you get arrested for that?
The theory is, Mr. Henry, if home jersey wins and you went ahead and said something back to me to further provoke me to beat your ass, yeah.
You're not going to get arrested.
No, I mean, how could you do that?
And so this is what I mean, man. It's a jungle mentality. Now, we're going to take probably a little bit of a break here.
One other thing, Mr. Ernie, I wanted to say that cutting off beer sales as well is very dangerous. When you cut off beer sales, you just piss off people even more so and more so and more so and more so, you know. So,
all right, hold on, Dave. We'll be back, and we're talking about that with Dave Oliva as we talk about fan violence at ball games, fan violence in the parking lots, you know, outside or inside the stadium, and what can be done about it. Mr. Oliva is saying that the teams, they're the ones that regulate it. The teams are the ones that are the cause. And I'm telling you right now, this is like every other thing that we talk about on this show. If you are an individual, you are responsible for your actions. The Dodgers didn't do it. The Giants didn't do it. The Yankees didn't do it. The Canadians didn't do it. The Gators didn't do it. You. And Mr. Oliva is telling me that, no, let's lay it on the team, letting people out early and so forth. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. What do you think of the solutions that Mr. Oliva just told us about for preventing fan violence? Does it go too far? 877-876-7445. The Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
No, I get the last word, then I beat that.
Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back here as we talk to Dave Oliva. Dave is a student of criminal justice and law enforcement at L.A. Canyon College. He also hopes to enroll at the Los Angeles Police Academy. We're talking about the violence at our ball clubs, at our ballparks, whether they're baseball stadiums, football stadiums, whether they are at the arenas where we watch basketball, whether it's for college football or college sports in general or pro sports, violence between fans is an unacceptable. It's just an unacceptable situation. You know, in Europe, Dave, there's a lot of violence between fans.
Well, yeah, but those are soccer fans. That's called hooliganism, and I don't know if you're familiar with hooliganism, but hooliganism is like. That's like mostly British people that do that.
Well, yeah, but they're gangs, you know.
Yeah, but those are mostly British and hockey, or not hockey, soccer. If you've read up on it, the Europeans are not the same as the British. The people in France and Belgium and everything, they go and they look at a soccer game and everything's okay about it. But then the British come over there and they are afraid of them, like almost like, Day of the Dead or something, you know, some kind of something, I don't know. You know,
what do you mean, Day of the Dead?
Well, it's like a ghoul are coming over. But
all right, well, let's get back to America. So we have this violence between fans. You are saying that the way to get rid of violence between fans is to not let fans leave the stadiums early. Don't cut down on beer sales. I would think that it's the other way around.
No. That's a big, big, big miscommunication. A miscommunication, yeah. That's what that is. And let me tell you about that, okay? One of the biggest, like, total, probably, like, just lies, you know, that has ever been told is that breaking, not selling beer is going to keep fans calm. That is not true from the studies that I've done. When you eliminate beer sales at a baseball stadium, football, or what have you, all you do is serve to piss off people that want to have a beer. So what happens then is that, obviously, Mr. Henry, that's going to spill over into the parking lot or the stadium or the other places that people go, you know, after the game. Like, well, I guess they go to their car, you know, not too many other places. I guess go to the bathroom. You know,
no, I understand that. All right, so you're saying that because the beer sales are cut off. All right, so far, Dave, you have given me reasons for fan violence that have nothing to do with the individual. Nothing to do with the individual.
No, I just don't see that.
Well, why don't you see that? In other words, if I'm a law-abiding man and I'm walking to my car with my kids or whatever, I'm not going around and kicking people's asses.
Well, I mean, if you're with your kid, you're not going to do that.
I'm not going to do it if I'm by myself. It's not my instinct as a human being, other than to protect myself if something happens. I'm not going to go around looking for trouble, all right? Now, isn't there a difference between me and another guy that gets into a fight?
Well, I don't think so, because like you said, you're going to protect yourself. I think that the ball clubs and so much of what's going on in society right now with the politics and the way they don't like immigrants, you know, a lot of the immigrants go to games and are tired of being looked at like they're scum. And they're tired of being looked at like it's all their fault. And so naturally they're going to beat ass.
Now you're telling me that immigrants are the cause of this.
No, they're not the cause of it. No,
you just got done telling me that, illegal immigrants go to the ball games and start kicking ass?
No, but I'm not saying it's their fault. I'm saying that people are saying, look at these immigrants. You know, they stink. Get them out of here. They lie. They cheat. They steal. And so naturally, once an immigrant comes out of a game, and that's been going through his head and going through his head and going through his head, he wants to beat ass, especially if his team is lost. So, Mr. Henry, what I'm trying to say to you, and I'm trying to say to everybody else, is you can't judge a book by its cover. There's a lot going, you know, leading the horse to water and everything that they say. You know, there's a lot going on. And you have to be smart and not be stupid and understand that if a guy comes out of a ball game and he was told he can't have a beer, and a guy comes out of a ball game and he's told that, you know, other fans went home already, he's going to be pissed, and he's going to want to beat ass.
And all right, hold the line here. Dave Oliva with us. Mr. Oliva has basically said that this is a problem, that it was created by the ball clubs, fan violence created by the ball clubs. Fan violence created by the ball. You know, if I have to hear one more, I'm going to turn into Margaret Grave. I got to hear one more guy say that the reasons for unacceptable social behavior have to do with corporations or big companies or this or that. I'm going to go nuts. Fan violence at ball games. What causes it? The ball clubs or the individual?
Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back here with Dave Oliva here on the Phil Henry Show. Mr. Oliva, an aspiring Los Angeles police officer and student of criminal justice. And we're talking about one of the most brutal crimes committed in the history of any city, and that was the beating of a fan in the parking lot at Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles 2 weeks ago, a San Francisco Giant fan. And Mr. Oliva is talking about what causes fan violence, fan-on-fan violence. And we've had some basic disagreements here, Dave. I'm talking about individual responsibility, individuals that should take responsibility for their actions. And you're saying that it's the fault of the teams. You know, you're saying...
Well, let me give you an example, Mr. Henry, because, I can understand you're not getting what I'm saying.
No, I get what you're saying. I just don't agree with it. You're saying it's the fault of the L.A. Dodgers or the San Francisco Giants or anything, that they shouldn't let people out early, that they should not allow people to leave the game early. They shouldn't cut off beer sales.
Well, let me give you an example of something that is going to be more, I think, understandable to a great many of your audience, because I've studied all kinds of sports, and I've studied all kinds of sports, you know. Like for instance, and this is probably going to be more relatable to the audience that you say about, you know. First of all, if you go to a NASCAR race, which is a race of automobiles.
Yeah, I know what NASCAR is.
Okay, so you know it's an oval track race. The person that goes to that race and he sees these cars go fast is going to get in his car and he's going to go way fast, you know, home. And
you know, you're blaming, I'm talking about fan violence.
No, I am too. I'm talking about fan violence. So if a guy leaves a NASCAR race, he gets in his car and he goes fast and you know, kills a man and a man's family, that you have to say is because of the NASCAR stadium.
Now, okay, so are you serious, man? What about the people that don't go fast?
The people that don't go fast are not susceptible, you know.
Susceptible?
Yeah, susceptible to what they saw. But the people that do.
So you're blaming NASCAR for automobile accidents?
I'm blaming NASCAR for reckless driving. I'm blaming NASCAR for excessive speed. I'm blaming NASCAR for a guy that gets out of the NASCAR race and goes, Yeah, you know, and at Hall's ass and runs over a kid, maybe a little kid, no bigger than, I mean, probably a foot tall or something. And that cat, that guy, he killed it. And he didn't.
877-876 Phil. The NASCAR race is causing fans to you know, Dave, I'm sorry, but I don't buy that. And I've been going to automobile races for a long time. Here is David in Northridge. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
I like to say that this guy, Dave, is an idiot, and he should not be a police officer. I mean, and the things that he's saying, that the stadium should keep people until the end of the game, you can't do that. I mean, people can leave anytime they want. Yeah, people can leave anytime they want. People can say whatever they want. People have a right to free speech. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're the home team. You have to responsible. You have to be responsible for your actions. And if you attack somebody, then you should go to jail.
Exactly.
And, you know, that's it.
Well, I'd like to say something about that. First of all, you know that they cut off beer sales. Well, wait a second. If I have every right to do it, why can't I buy a beer? They told me I can't. Okay, that's number one. Number two, if I'm free to do what I want, how come if I have a ticket, okay, I'm not allowed, well...
No, the gentleman's right.
Yeah, but there's something wrong with what he's saying.
Sir, you're not free to do whatever you want. Just because you go to a sports event doesn't mean that you are in the WWF. You can't just attack people for, you know, just because they're not the fans that you respect. I mean,
I didn't say you could. I didn't say you could. But I am saying that if a guy goes out into the parking lot after the Dodger game and the Dodgers, especially if the Dodgers are not trying their best and they're not winning to try to win the World Series. And you get angry about that.
That doesn't matter.
Don't the Dodgers have something to do with that?
Are you kidding me, man? The Dodgers
are... That doesn't matter, man. Hey, Phil, can I just give a shout-out to my website? If you don't know what to do with your life, we give you career advice to match with your personality. And, you know, we tell you what career would be good for you and what college degree would be good for you.
How come that guy gets to say that?
I think Dave should check out my website because you should not be a police officer. You sound like you should be a janitor for the Dodger Stadium. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah?
Bye-bye.
If I was a janitor for the Dodger Stadium, I would not let people... Oh, man. How come you let that guy plug some cheesoid...
That sounded like a good thing. It was a career site.
Mr. Renner, I'm an aspiring police officer, and I have to tell you at this time... That could have been a recruiting call for some kind of Al-Qaeda. I don't know.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I don't know. You know, President Bush told us that we had to be aware.
The guy's given a career... First of all, let's forget about that and remember what the guy said. This is about individual responsibility, which is exactly what this show stands for. And to say that the Dodgers or any ball club is responsible for the violence of their fans, I can understand that if, for instance, if a ball club starts just selling hard liquor for free, here is Cecil in Macon, Georgia. Cecil, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Dave Oliva.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I totally disagree with what that gentleman is talking about. They should ban alcohol. Alcohol causes nothing but liquid courage. I guarantee you that those two gentlemen that jumped that guy had not been drinking, they would have never thought twice about it. You cannot blame the team. It's not the team's fault. It's those individuals. And if this guy that you're interviewing now is aspiring to become a police officer, he needs to seriously consider a different profession because he sounds as worse as they did.
You're not even considering, sir, that they could have been pissed off that they were not allowed to have a beer. You will not even consider that. Why not?
Look, why would you be pissed off because you couldn't have a beer? If you wanted to drink beer, you should have said it and watched it on TV.
Of course you'd be pissed off if you couldn't have a beer.
Why?
Because I want to have a beer. I want to have a frosty one.
Have a beer. I mean, have a beer at home. Have a beer at home while you're watching it on TV. This guy is out with his family trying to have a good day with his children, and he gets assaulted by two punks. Because they had too much to drink, basically.
Yeah, no kidding. I agree with this gentleman. I think at the very heart of this are two liquored up gangbangers that beat on this guy.
Well, Mr. Renner, I think that's wrong of you to assume they're gangbangers. You know?
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, whatever, man. Let's just stay with the booze thing then. And the fact that they did get liquored up.
Yeah, but this gentleman's not making no sense if he says stay home. I'm not home anymore. I'm at the game. Am I supposed to go home? What? If I'm at the game, I would like to have a beer. They say no more beer sales. Okay, now I'm pissed off. And I have to go out.
Okay,
and
then. Okay,
you don't
then
have
why
to
not
beat ass?
Why not limit
what?
Beer? Why not limit it? To two.
That's even worse.
Two beers for the game.
Oh, what?
Why
two
not
beers?
Limit it?
That's not enough. You got to have more. The other thing, sir, I think you need to know, I'm Hispanic, which means I have some Mesquite Indian blood in me. Everybody knows that Indians love, you know, I don't want to say it, but we love firewater. You know,
what are you trying to say now, man? You got to have your booze? That is nuts. Thank you very much for your call, the gentleman Cecil. Thank you, sir. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking here with Dave Oliva. And I, you know what? I got to tell you something. I really resent what you just said there, Dave. Not resent so much as I don't understand the comment about being part Indian.
I'm saying that when you cut off, I'm part Indian, and you cut me off. Look, I have a constitutional right. You know, Mr. Aaron, you've been talking about being a conservative and having the constitutional rights to do what the Constitution tells you to do, okay? I have a constitutional right in many ways, okay, to have a thirst-quenching beverage, like a beer. That's my constitutional right to quench, you know, thoroughly quench my, to quench it.
You got a constitutional right to quench it.
Yes, sir. And in many ways, it's cruel and unusual to cut it off.
The Constitution doesn't say that.
The Constitution says that I have a right to my to what I want. And as a police officer, these are the things that I must learn.
There's nothing in the Constitution that says we serve beer anywhere at any time to anyone. Here is Brian in Abilene, Texas. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Brian with Dave Oliva. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks, Tess. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, real quick, man.
Yes,
as
sir.
A law enforcement officer, Dave, is that your name, buddy?
Yes, sir. My name is Dave Oliva. Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. All right, Dave. Hey, as a law enforcement officer, I'm going to tell you right now that, just for example, if you go on scene to an assault, you know, you have the right to arrest on scene if it's, you know, if you have probable cause to do so. Once you figure out that they came from a NASCAR or the Dodger Stadium or whatever, and are you going to tell them, you know what, go ahead and go home. You did fine. I'm going to go and get the executives from Dodger Stadium, and I'm going to arrest those guys. And another fact, you know, like you said.
What are you saying, Mr. Henry? You're laughing at that?
That's pretty funny. I like the way you put that.
But, and the drinking
are you
thing,
telling me?
When I went through the academy, I don't recall anybody saying, you know, you go on to a scene to a bar fight, and they're saying, ho, man, you can't violate my constitutional rights because I don't have the right to drink here even past hours. I don't care what the state says. I don't care what the lawmakers passed. I'm doing what I want to do because I'm part Indian or whatever. That's ridiculous.
I'm saying that as a part Indian, I have a constitutional right to quench my thirst.
Then if you've got a constitutional right to do that, you probably ought to see if there's a constitutional right to get into a 12-step program, brother. Because I'm telling you, if you're getting into law enforcement, you better think twice, because I promise you, nowadays, it's so easy to lose your badge over ignorance. I'm not saying you're ignorant.
Yes,
I'm just saying, if you look at it the wrong way.
But if you don't quench it, if you don't let me quench it, I could probably sue for discriminatory practices. Right?
How?
Well, no. Look, you know, Mr. you can laugh if you want it.
Well, the gentleman's making some very good points. First of all, are you going to go arrest the Dodgers?
No, I'm not going to arrest the Dodgers. How am I supposed to do that?
You don't. You arrest the guy that's been involved in the action.
But he also said something about, he said something about, as an Indian, I don't have no constitutional rights. Is that what you said?
No, he did not say that.
Not at all.
He
sir.
Said, "What did you say?"
I respect your heritage like anybody else. What I'm saying is, whether you're Indian, purple, green, yellow, it doesn't matter. Rainbow, there's nothing in the Constitution that says you have the right to quench your thirst. You can do that because in Texas it's 21.
Well, I know that.
That's across the nation, but. You know, after hours, the state, you know, they enact laws to protect things like that. And if you, you know,
if
you're pulled over,
you said rainbow. What are you talking about, a rainbow man?
I'm just.
He was saying if your color, if you're rainbow colored, whatever, you don't have necessarily the constitutional rights to certain actions. We've often talked about this on the show. You don't have the constitutional right to yell fire in a crowded theater. You don't have the constitutional right to infringe on the rights of other people, you know? And if you're getting hammered to the point where you're a threat to others...
Well, no, I'm not a threat, but the Dodgers let me down.
The Dodgers let you down. Well, isn't that too bad?
See, now you're making fun of me because I'm Mexican.
No, I'm not. It's got nothing to do with it, man. I'm talking about this gentleman I thought made some great sense. Brian, thank you very much for your call.
Hey, thank you.
He made this. He's a police officer, too. You didn't realize you were talking to a police officer.
What that guy was?
Yes.
How'd you know that?
He said because he was a police officer.
Oh, man. I missed that. Well, he says he went to the academy?
Yes, he went to the academy.
He was in Abilene, Texas.
He went to his police academy. Whatever the one they go to in Abilene, Texas. Wow. 877-876-7445. World famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll wrap up our final segment with Dave Oliva as we talk about who is ultimately responsible for the violence that was committed at Dodger Stadium in that parking lot against that man. And this show will always say it is the fault of the individuals that inflicted that violence, not the Dodgers, not the Giants, not the game of baseball, not NASCAR, not booze, not the cutting off of sales, not the continuation of sales, not letting people out early, not letting people out late. The people that committed those acts of violence, and only them. Because this is Radio for Patriots by Patriots. 877-876-7445, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Get all melodramatic, man.
Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back. Our final segment here with Dave Oliva, a member of, he's not yet a member of the LAPD. This is a man who is a student of law enforcement. Dave, you're very much a fan of the Los Angeles Police Department, which I think is admirable.
Thank you.
And I think it's admirable that you're choosing a career in law enforcement. But I think that you're coming from a law enforcement perspective and turning around and saying, well, anybody that commits the kind of violence that we saw committed against Mr. Stowe at this Dodger game or any stadium, any public sporting event in America, and if you will, Europe with these soccer games, deserves the full weight of the law to be brought against them. And I don't understand your taking the side of these people.
I'm not taking their side, Mr. Henry. I'm trying to calm down. One of the first things you do as a peace officer is...
No, you are taking their side. You're saying it's the Dodgers' fault. It's the this fault. It's the that. And that gentleman that was a police officer said, why don't you go arrest them?
Look, it's my job as a peace officer to calm down and calm down and calm down. That's the first thing I need to do. I got to do to control a crowd. If you go to a NASCAR race and a man sees this race and he goes, yeah, and he gets in his car and goes... Like a bat out of, like my grandfather used to say, like a bat out of hell, you know? You know, Mr. Henry, how they used to say that?
Yeah.
Okay. It's my job to go to the NASCAR officials and say, you better slow it down because we have a situation developing.
Uh-huh.
Out here on the street. You know,
you got a situation developing out on the street.
Yes, sir. So it's my job to go to, the NASCAR official and say, okay, look, let's talk about this. We got a situation developing out here on the street where a lot of these fans are running out there and going like a bat out of hell home. So let's slow this down. Let's grow up.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call. We have Sean in Macon, Georgia. Hi, Sean. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dave Oliva.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I just want to say that
is the dumbest thing that I've ever heard the guy that's saying now. I don't understand why he cannot see that it's personal responsibility.
Excuse me? You know, what do you mean it's the dumbest? Well, what does that mean, the dumbest thing? As a police officer, I'm, you know.
Well, okay. Well, then how come when somebody speeds on the interstate, you know, they're going 80 miles an hour and the speed limit is 70 and they get a ticket, why don't you just blame the state? Well, why didn't you raise the speed limit to 80 miles an hour? I mean, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You have to have personal responsibility.
No, what I'm saying is there's no outward stimulus that I can see. If I can find the outward stimulus, in this case, the NASA race, I don't know a lot about it, but the NASA race, and I have not gone to the NASA officials and said, look, we have like a situation where there's cars going out of these parking lots and they're going like a bat out of hell. Now you got to grow up and slow.
NASCAR race, it's a sport, and they do it on
the
track.
Yeah, you said NASA?
I'm sorry, I meant NASCAR.
Yeah.
Yeah, NASCAR. It's a sport, and they do it on the track. They don't do it out on the interstate. Like baseball, you play it on a field. Wrestling, any other sport, you do it in a ring. Boxing, you do it in a ring. You don't do it out in the parking lot. If you do that, you're not an adult.
I understand that, sir.
And if you do something like that, you need to face the consequences, and
exactly.
It's your responsibility to act as a human adult.
A lot of men and women will go to a wrestling match, okay? You take your wife to the wrestling match. It's done all over America. A guy comes home, okay? They go, whatever. A guy comes home.
Okay, you there?
Yes, sir, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I had to take a quick phone call. No, a guy comes home and pile drives his wife. Okay, are you telling me that's his fault?
Yes,
it is his fault. It's not the fault of wrestling. The wrestling didn't make them do that.
He pile drives his wife, and you say wrestling didn't do it?
Yeah. Yeah. Wrestling didn't do it. He did it.
What if
he did? I mean, that's crazy. And hopefully,
what if he scissor kicked her? First of all, the point I'm trying to make is if you take your wife's face and jam it into a turnbuckle.
Casting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. We didn't do our montage. That's okay. Two more victims of the Long Island serial killer have been found. We started talking about this last week. And there are two more sets of skeletal remains. And the reason why we talk about serial killers on the show is because we don't have Dr. Stone on the show anymore, bud.
Yeah, he was really good. I love to hear about it.
Yeah, we don't have him because we're not bothering him anymore with our falderall. But he would always come on and update us on the things that were going on in the world, in the wonderful, magical world of serial murderers. And so we'll have to just go this alone, but we do have that story. A weight loss doctor tells his patients that having sex with him burns calories. Well, why not? And anyway...
Are you kidding me, man?
No, I was kidding about my response.
I mean, that to me, that's about as... I mean, it's dishonest, but if he gets away with it...
Oh, it's dishonest, but if he gets away with it...
Well, yeah, I mean, think about it's bad unless the people go, oh, wow.
Unless they lose weight, huh?
Yeah. Well, what would you say?
I'm not going to even go that far. I'm not going there with you, man. I'm not even going to attempt that. You're telling me I'll go ahead and con some lady into having sex with me, and if she loses weight, I'll say, see?
Yeah, it's worth a shot.
It's worth a shot, huh? Is it worth going to jail? Because that's what's going to happen.
How come?
Because you're going to go to jail. First of all, it's violating an ethical aspect of the ethical Hippocratic. I don't know what it is, man.
No, you're talking about like a psychiatrist or something. If he has sex with a lady... On account of that, I'll probably drive her around the bend and she'll take an axe to somebody. But we're talking about a regular doctor.
What did he just say?
Talking about if a psychiatrist has sex with a patient.
And so she'll go nuts and take an axe to someone, but a regular doctor?
That's not against the law.
Well, I don't know that you know what you're talking about. I know that you can't have sex with somebody if you're a psychiatrist or a psychologist, but I don't even think you're allowed to have that kind of consensual relationship with any kind of a doctor. What do I know?
Exactly, man. You know, I saw on The Sopranos, you know...
Will you shut up with The Sopranos? I understand what you're saying. All right, so one Chicago school, by the way, has banned homemade lunches. Homemade lunches? A Chicago school has banned homemade lunches as being unhealthy. So that means that the crap you buy at school is better for you than what dear old mom was going to make you. And also our Phil Henry Show website, philhenryshow.com, our uncensored Phil TV and HD recent archives. You can check that out. Check out tonight's show. I really look particularly crappy tonight, man. I look like I haven't had any sleep, and I haven't. And also our blog and our archives and our best of CDs. And a big announcement here tonight, and I forgot to put it on the website, but I will announce it right now. The Phil Henry Show t-shirt is in our store, the official Phil Henry Show t-shirt, dark royal blue with the show insignia on the back, fit for the summertime, a beautiful thing. And it comes in all sizes from, I think we start at large, Bud, is that right?
Yeah, it goes all the way up to triple X.
Triple X. And I said to them, I said, you know, whatever you guys order, you better order them big because I got a lot of big, fat, slob fans.
Right.
All right. 877- If there's one thing I know about our fan base, we got a lot of fat guys. All right, 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show. So, yeah, get over there, man. Grab that. Grab yourself one. Grab yourself a handful of those new Phil Henry Show t-shirts. They're in our merchandise store right now. So here's a story here that I thought we'd all get a couple of kicks out of. Just a light, happy, joyful story about a mother beating her son with a spatula. Now,
That's not light.
I know. It's actually very serious. Let's talk about this. A Tampa woman has been accused of beating her son with a spatula. Now, you tell me that it's not light and it's not breezy and it's not funny, but why do they keep bringing up the spatula thing? She beat him.
No, I mean, a spatula, well...
She beat him. When you say that she beat him with a spatula, what are you trying to do? You're trying to get some laughs out of it. That's what you're trying to do. A woman accused of beating her son with a spatula for getting an F on his report card was in court on Monday. Damaris Vasquez, age 35, stood before Judge Walter Heinrich on Monday facing serious charges. You've been accused of child abuse on your 12-year-old son, the judge said. Looks like you overreacted, tried to punish him for a bad report card. Judge didn't bring up anything about a spatula. Judge wasn't there for laughs. He wasn't there for kicks. He was there to bring the pain. Here is Tampa Police Spokeswoman Andrea Davis talking to WTVT about this case.
We went out. The officer found marks on the son's upper torso, on his face, and also on his arms. The 12-year-old victim in this case said that the suspect hit him because of his grades. Clearly, parents need to do what they need to do to keep their children in line and behave. However, if it crosses a certain point and law enforcement does get involved and there is some type of abuse and there's evidence of that, there's no choice but to make the arrest.
Now, here's Dr. Jillian Glass, a child and family psychiatrist, who says violence is never the answer. And ain't got nothing to do with a spatula.
So teenagers can really push our buttons as parents, but corporal punishment is never a good idea when it comes to disciplining our kids. Because we don't want our kids to make decisions about how they behave on things based on fear. And that's a lot of times what the threat or the actual act of spanking a child will do.
What are you looking at?
Well, I don't understand, man. How come all this stuff with a psychiatrist and everything?
Yeah, what was it? Like a serial killer?
What are you talking about?
Well, why did they have that?
I don't know. I'm just this lady beat her kid, and
yeah, but what they got that doctor?
She's a psychiatrist. I don't know. Somehow that got thrown in. I mean, the kid was beaten with a spatula by the mother. Maybe this was something that the mother had not ordinarily done. I mean, if she ordinarily beats her kids, we don't need a psychiatrist. We just know that she needs a jail cell, and you know,
gas chamber
and a gas chamber. However, I guess maybe this was an unusual action for the mother. Maybe she did get angry over. I don't know. The police got a call over the weekend for the boy's father. The 12-year-old then told police his mom abused him. The boy's parents are separated, according to the family. Well, this has got nothing to do with the mother overreacting. This is a child saying that his mother abuses him. Tampa police, according to the arrest report, Damaris Vasquez confronted her son about bad grades. She got in a call from the teacher saying her son had an F on his report card. In the report, the boy told police his mother hit him with a wooden and metal spatula several times. And that makes the headline. Can you believe this, ladies and gentlemen? This is a story about a kid who's been beaten by his mother. There's a psychiatrist that's been interviewed. The police have been interviewed. This is a serious thing, child abuse. But what's the headline that WTVT throws in there because they don't think it's interesting enough? He got hit with a spatula.
What are you all pissed off for?
I ain't pissed off. I just think it's, you know, it's just interesting to me what these jackballs that put the news out, what it is they think is interesting or is going to grab the interest of the audience. You know?
No, I mean, I wouldn't have been interested unless I knew it was, a spatula or something.
Yeah, because it is kind of funny thinking a kid got hit with, like, rubber.
What are you? You guys are idiots, you know that?
Why?
Because the kid got beat up by his mother. You don't need to get interested in the story because it's a spatula. Speaking of being beaten with a spatula, what time you got, Robert?
12:13.
All right, that's Western time, folks, or I should say Pacific time. Our clock broke. We took our old satellite clock, and I think we've probably thrown it in the garbage. All right, speaking of being beaten with a spatula, guess who they're in talks with to open for Charlie Sheen in Vancouver? You people in Vancouver, we don't have an affiliate there anymore? Never mind. Anyway, they're going to be opening in Vancouver is Charlie Sheen and possibly Randy Quaid, who has been hiding out in Canada, I think, ever since he got it in his head that there were Martians chasing him or something. Randy Quaid, as you know, a great actor, the older brother or younger brother or middle brother or maybe even the father of Dennis Quaid, who has recently been on the run through Canada with some chick he met and believes he's being chased by little men who live in the interior of the earth. Randy Quaid could open for Charlie Sheen. Why? The things I just mentioned qualify him. When Sheen performs in Vancouver, the idea has been bandied about. Sure, I'll bet it's been bandied about as a bit of a joke since Sheen announced that he'd be bringing his Torpedo of Truth tour to Vancouver next month. Quaid's new record label is trying to make it happen. Yes, that's right. Only in Canada would a record label sign a guy who sees things. And here's things. Wait a minute.
Yeah, I was going to say Brian Wilson has a deal.
You're right. Anyway, Maximum Music Group, which is recording two songs with Quaid in Vancouver, presented the proposal to Live Nation late last week and says the idea was favorably received by the concert promoter behind Sheen's tour. I think it'd be a hoot, said Quaid, who's been living in Vancouver since October with his wife Evie, ever since they thought they were chased by assassins that were hired by James Cameron or Zsa Zsa Gabor, I don't know. The two escaped legal troubles in the U.S. They claimed refugee status in Canada, and Canada's just the place that'll give it to them. Saying they were targets of a murderous conspiracy of Hollywood star whackers. When the Canadian authorities reported to them that they were probably talking about serial masturbators, Quaid relaxed. Canadian citizenship it's been granted? Oh, Evie Quaid, whose father was born in Canada, has been granted Canadian citizenship and is sponsoring her husband. The Sheen proposal would involve Quaid performing two songs he debuted at Vancouver's Commodore Ballroom last month, songs he is now recording for digital release likely later this month, a Johnny Cash-esque ballad, which is called We Will Be Together, Then and Star Whackers. A loud shouted more than sung tune that starts with the idea of being arrested just for being a celebrity, which should happen more often, don't you think?
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah, how are you going to sing a protest song about that?
Mr. Quaid, we feel that if you're going to sing a song that people can identify with, it should be an issue that people would agree with you on. When you're protesting the arrest of celebrities, why, hell, we want to see more of that.
Good point.
Yeah. Anyway, it is apropos to this situation and apropos to my situation and apropos to everyone else's situation, said Quaid, who did three films with Sheen, including Major League 2, No Man's Land, and, of course, the biggie, The Wraith. Huh? Quaid says he'd like to have Sheen, period. Now, anyway, I'm kidding. Don't grab that away from me. I was joking. Quaid says he'd like to have Sheen join him on stage to sing backup on Star Whackers.
I can't miss that.
Dude, I wouldn't miss that for the world. If we get tickets to this show, Robert, what do you think?
Yeah, I'll try.
Get on the phone. I want to get a block of seats. That's all there is to it. I want a block of seats. I want airfare. Call Air Canada. Who do we know? No one? Perfect. I want hotel. I want limo. I want it all, man, and I want it for my listeners. I want to have, we got to get up there for Star Whackers, if for nothing else.
I'm on it.
Great. All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, although we don't take calls in our news and comment hour. And, of course, philhenryshow.com. We will be back with more here in our news and comment hour, including, well, we're just the creepiest weight loss docker story. Of course, we have to tell you about that and some other things. Yeah, the guy that sleeps with women, you, never mind. We'll be right back.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So we'll try to make that happen. I don't know if we can or not, but we will try. We're going to try to get a block of seats for the Charlie Sheen, Randy Quaid show in Vancouver. We'll give away pairs of tickets. I'm going to try to make it as well. So it'll be basically this. It'll be, and I'm just telling you, I don't know if we're going to be able to do this. I don't even know if this guy Quaid is going to make the show. And that's the only reason why we would do this, because Quaid and Sheen together, that can't be missed. And then after Randy Quaid is done with his song, I'm going to stand up in the middle of the row and go, yeah, yeah, you bet, you betcha, and just, you know, pump him up and get him ready for the electroshock that is sure to await. All right. Weight loss doctor told patients sex with him would burn calories. Now, we do have a recording of one of the young ladies during an encounter with the doctor.
Ching chong ling long ting tong.
Anyway, a weight loss doctor is accused of sexually assaulting female, what?
That's okay.
Don't start commenting on my comedic drops. A weight loss doctor is accused of sexually assaulting female patients, telling them it would help them burn calories.
I want to die.
All right. It is alleged that Dr. Ari Oren used his hands, if you'll pardon the expression, Ari Oren. That's the guy's name, but it sounds obscene.
Yeah, I was going to say. You sure that's his name?
Yes. It's probably like Dutch for something vulgar. It is alleged that Dr. Ari Oren, which is Dutch for oral sex, I think, used his hands on an electronic massager. Well, I can't say this, can I?
Let me see.
Give me that. You don't know anything about the FCC any more than I do. Anyway, he used an electric massager on his patients, telling one victim, if you have an orgasm, that would burn 200 calories, according to court documents obtained by NBC in Philadelphia. A number of the victims used the word creepy to describe his conduct. Montgomery County District Attorney Risa Vetri Furman said in a press conference on Monday, Dr. Oren, excuse me, now listen to this. If this isn't a gag place, this has got to be something. This is fake. He works at Conshockenhocken Weight Control. Bull crap.
No, man, I swear that's in the story.
Conshockenhocken Weight Control.
Yeah, maybe that's Dutch for something.
Yeah, maybe... Dutch for something. You know what I think it is?
What?
I think it's Dutch for...
Ching chong ling long ting tong.
Anyway, was arrested on multiple counts of aggravated indecent assault after several female patients reported to police that Oren inappropriately touched them during weight loss sessions between September and December 2010. What a vulgar, vile bastard this guy is.
Man.
God. You know, are women safe anywhere? Seriously, I mean, I know most guys are decent. There's no question. But here are these women, they want to go and find out how to lose weight. So they ain't feeling all that attractive in the first place. Here comes the doctor, and he sells them on a line of horse dung like this? Have you ever met a woman that dumb?
I wish. I mean, no.
I wish. Anyway, one victim told police that Oren told her, you're getting an extra special treat for losing all the weight. And then he used a massager on her, according to court documents. Another victim told police that the 64-year-old doctor grabbed her beep, breasts, anyway. Yet another victim said the doctor sexually assaulted her, and when she protested, he unbuttoned his pants and said, if you need a man, I'm a man, shake hands with it. No, he didn't say that.
You shouldn't joke about that, man.
You're absolutely right. I'm sorry. I apologize. This guy is out of control. His name is Dr. Ari Oren. Oh, I know why. Because he's from Conshohocken, Pennsylvania. Pardon me for mispronouncing this, ladies and gentlemen. I know it's your town. If you're listening, and it is your town, it is called Conshohocken, Pennsylvania. Conshohocken, Pennsylvania. And you're welcome. Anyway, Oren is a convicted felon who served prison time in the late 1990s for an insurance fraud scheme, according to authorities. He was released after posting $100,000 cash bail following his arraignment. The district attorney's office believes there may be more women who fell victim to Oren's abuse, and the district attorney hopes they will come forward. That's pretty sick, man. We do have some audio here. I don't know if we have enough time. We do. This is Montgomery County DA Risa Vetri Furman speaking to reporters today, that would be on Monday actually, yesterday, about allegations against Dr. Oren.
For a woman to go to a doctor like this looking for help with weight loss, which is such a personal matter, and to then have the doctor touch her sexually, touch her inappropriately, and even try to kiss her, and to make such personal comments, is really a complete betrayal of what the doctor is supposed to be doing.
Furman says that there is more than one victim.
There were a number of people who reported conduct that they described as inappropriate, unprofessional. A number of them use the word creepy to describe his conduct. They have described his conduct in a manner that can only be described as cavalier.
However, Dr. Oren's attorney, Richard Winters, tells reporters he's not pleased with the high bail amount.
I'm upset about the bail amount. Yes, absolutely. We should be posting it, but there's no reason to set bail at $100,000 cash. I mean, he's been around for years, worked in Conshohocken. He's not a flight risk. He could have left months ago.
Oh, Conshohocken, that's the name of it. Okay. Well, there, for no other reason, it was good to hear from his attorney because the guy pronounced the name of the town. So there you have it, some weight loss doctor who sounds like a real scumbag, but then I should defer judgment until after the trial because a man is innocent until proven guilty, bud.
Yeah, but I heard it said also that in a public, in the public arena, it don't matter.
Well, that's true, too. I mean, in the public arena... In other words, in the general and public discussion, yes, we're allowed to draw our conclusions, even in a talk show, you know. But for me to say something along the lines of,
"I want to die,"
I think would be completely...
Yeah, you're making all kinds of jokes, man. You shouldn't do that.
Oh, well, okay, excuse me.
What got into you?
I just don't think it's right.
All right, man, sorry.
Seriously, man, the guy's like molesting women and stuff.
Okay, I apologize.
Yeah, way to go, man. We had a roll going.
A roll going?
Anyway, maybe we just ordered a roll or something. We'll be back. World famous. You're right, Robert. You're absolutely right. You know, I shouldn't make light of that. We'll be back here, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. And for punishment, I'm going to continue watching the Civil War in the Ivory Coast, okay?
I'll join you.
Great. We'll be right back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. For Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back to your Radio for Patriots. You're right, Robert. I'm not trying to make fun.
I do think those ladies have been, they got touched on and everything.
Yeah, but the story's funny.
Well, you know, we do have a tendency to laugh at these stories until we go, well, wait a second. This story is about the sexual assault of a woman. Now, we're not going to make jokes about it, but by the same token... It was this cat so bizarre, man. Ari Oren and his Conshohocken clinic and his whack freaking philosophy. And the whole thing is just jacked up, man. So, you know. Aspen Institute Conference on Race in America. Look at that.
What?
Well, it's Aspen, Colorado. It's a black lady.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
They ain't got him?
They ain't got him. Well, I was in Aspen 2 years in a row. I didn't see one. I'm kidding, folks, of course. Chicago school bans homemade lunches, the latest in national food fight. That's right. It's a national food fight, ladies and gentlemen, this whole school lunch thing. And you know that Michelle Obama has been weighing in. And if you'll pardon the expression. And students who attended Chicago's Little Village Academy public school get nothing but nutritional tough love during their lunch periods each day. The students can either eat the cafeteria food or go hungry.
Only students with allergies are allowed to bring a homemade lunch to school, reports the Chicago Tribune.
What's that about?
Well, let's read it. Nutrition-wise, it's better for the child to eat at the school, according to Principal Elsa Carmona, and it's about the excellent quality food that they're able to serve in the lunchroom. It's milk versus a Coke. Now, when would you ever imagine? And I'm going to tell you again that standing for what we stand for in this show here on Radio for Patriots by Patriots, and Bud, please play our nice marching sound effects.
Ching chong ling long.
Will you get out of here? That ain't it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I want the marching sound effect. Because really what we're talking about here is the individual, again, versus the, you know, the big corporate, big monster, big fang, man. That's right. Now, are you going to let yourself be stampeded, buffaloed, bum-rushed by schools that tell you, you know what, we know better than you what to feed your brat? I don't think so. But that's what's going on. They're afraid that we'll bring in greasy food instead of healthy food, and it won't be as good as what they give us at school, said student Yesenia Gutierrez. She's talking to the Chicago paper, and she says, it's lame. You tell them, young lady. Because she knows what her mother feeds her is good, nutritious, it's healthy, it's fantastic. It probably are you putting me on, man? Did you ever have cafeteria food as a kid?
Yeah. It wasn't any good, man. You're right.
Yeah, it sucked.
Absolutely. School cafeteria food is like you might as well, it might as well be waterboarding, man.
You want to die?
There's a guy that had a cafeteria hamburger. Anyway.
That's a guy being waterboarded.
I know. Anyway, Bill went into the cafeteria and had himself one of their hamburgers.
You want to die?
Anyway, the Chicago public school teacher started a blog to protest the low quality of the slop of the city's school lunches, and last year the schools tightened their nutrition standards for cafeteria-served school lunches. Every lunch must contain whole grains. Only reduced-fat salad dressings and mayonnaise are offered as condiments, and the meals must feature a different vegetable each day. Meal providers also must reduce sodium content by 5% annually or know the reason why. Change in Chicago's school cafeterias feeds into a larger effort to combat the school's childhood obesity epidemic. About a third of America's kids are overweight or obese, and since children consume at least 30% of their calories while in school, making lunches healthier is seen as one way to counter the problem. Now, all of this is well and good. All of this is, I think, admirable. All of this is, in fact, I would endorse this. If you're going to ask me, Phil Hendry, to pay tax dollars that eventually go into the support of our public schools, by all means, I want the food that is served in those schools to be nothing but tip-top nutritional. But I don't think making it illegal or otherwise against the rules for a kid to bring his food in from home is the way to go about things. No, 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 no.
Yeah, but what if they're bringing in slop?
So what if they're bringing in slop? What the hell is going on around here? You know, let me tell you something, man. It's one thing to say that society needs to protect a child against violence, abuse, against the sexual assault of a parent, against the predatory practices of adults, against the nonsensical and ill-considered designs of a parent, against all kinds of things that threaten immediately the health and well-being of that child. I am absolutely in favor of society stepping in when children are kidnapped, when children are separated from their parents, when there's a fight between parents, all of those things. That is all well and good. Now you're taking it to the area of, well, let me take a look at that lunch and see what you're serving him. Oh, come on. While Yahoo News hasn't been able to track down another school that bans homemade lunches outright, many smaller food battles have been playing out in cafeterias across the country as principals try to counter obesity in their schools. Healthy intentions can come across as overreach. No kidding. Alabama parents protested a school rule that barred students from bringing any drinks from home, as ice water was provided at lunch. Well, maybe I don't want my kid to drink your ice water. Maybe I think your ice water has that commie fluoridation in it. How does that grab you? What do you think about that, Mom?
I may be dumb.
Former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin even showed up in Bucks County
in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, with dozens of cookies to express her disdain for a debate in the state. I can't even read this.
You need carrots, man.
Yeah, bring some carrots in from home.
I need carrot juice in my school lunch. No. Former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin even showed up in Bucks County. I think it was Bucks County that threw me.
Yeah, because I'm thinking of her buck naked.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Anyway, in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, with dozens of cookies to express her disdain for a debate in the state about recommending teachers limit the number of times per month. Good God! That's a sentence that's a paragraph long, man. So, Governor Palin, with all due respect, I hope you don't mind. I'm sure what you did was great, but I'm going to forego mentioning what you did. No one will ever know about it. You know why? Because the sentence that was written around your name blows. Because the guy that wrote the sentence encapsulating what you did is a moron. All right. Tucson, Arizona's Children's Success Academy, that's talk about overreaching. Tucson, Arizona's Children's Success Academy allows home-packed lunches.
Yeah, I'll bet.
You filthy mind.
No kidding, man. Tucson, Arizona's Children's Success Academy allows home-packed lunches, but only if nothing in them contains white flour, refined sugar, or other processed foods. Hey, what is it with Arizona, man? Of course, that is a private school, right?
Yeah, that's the thing, man. It would be like a public school.
Still in all, I thought that people in Arizona were all, you know, hey, individual rights and all that jazz. Although if it's a private school, it's a private school. You want your kid to go to the private school. If you're paying that top dollar for those private schools, you better believe. As a matter of fact, I put my kids through private high school. I wonder what they ate at lunch. I don't even know. It never crossed my mind.
They probably saved money in that school and served them slop. Meanwhile, you're paying high price for tuition. What a schmuck.
Boy, you may be right, bud.
Yeah.
I paid all that money for tuition for my kids back in the early part of this century, in the late 90s, back before this whole school nutrition thing was going on. Top dollar tuition I paid, and they were probably eating slop. Actually, no, they weren't. I went in and went into the school cafeteria, and I saw what they were eating. It was fantastic. It was all fattening, but it was great.
What did they eat?
Oh, you name it, man. Big, greasy, dripping fries, lasagna. Everything, man. If I'd eaten it, I wouldn't have walked out of there. I'd have died right there. Happy, but dead. But because they're young, you know.
You know, kids can process all that fat and grease.
Oh, yeah. Well, because they got the very high metabolism, you know. So anyway, no bad stuff there at the private Tucson Children's Success Academy. That's according to the Arizona. So this is the battle that's going on, folks. Soon, cafeteria offerings across the country will all be healthier, whether students like it or not. Well, and I got nothing against that, but you have to understand yet again, you do not tell these parents that the kids can't bring in a lunch from home. Michelle Obama calls for higher nutritional standards to serve the 32 million kids who eat lunch every day at school. I don't know that I have to disagree with that. I mean, higher nutritional standard is fine for kids who are eating lunch at school. That's okay. But you ain't going to tell me that I can't pack my kid a lunch. For the first time, the USDA will set calorie limits for school lunches and will recommend they contain more vegetables and whole grains and less salt. The USA Today reports. Well, it's got to be a lie.
Yeah.
You guys had to throw that in there, huh? I was just about ready to believe it that it said USA Today reports. French fries should be replaced by vegetables and fruit, the guidelines say, even though it is so gay. No, it isn't. It's fantastic. And if you have those carrot sticks...
Carrot? Are you kidding me? Carrot sticks... Shit.
What's wrong with carrot sticks? I love them. Love them.
I'm sure. You like celery?
When I was a kid, I'm telling you right now, I loved celery. I loved celery and salt. I was a happy kid if I had celery.
What's that about?
I just loved it. I loved celery... And here's another one. You're not going to believe this. When I was a kid, I liked spinach.
Huh?
I did. And you want to know something? And I'm telling you the truth now. This is the God's truth. Because it's always so funny to hear people say, well, these cartoon characters and the things that they endorse are so bad for our children, like Joe the Camel. And all these, you know. Of course, Joe the Camel. Do you know anybody that smokes Camel? No. Kids smoke Marlboro, as they have since, I don't know, 1960. But when I was a kid... And they had on the cartoons in the afternoon, Popeye.
Yeah.
I still watch Popeye.
You do? Yeah. I love Popeye. And I loved it when he pulled out his can of spinach, squeezed off the lid, and sucked that spinach down.
That got you to eat spinach?
That got me to eat spinach.
Bull crap.
I'm telling you the God's honest truth. That got me to eat spinach. When I was a kid, I wanted spinach because Popeye ate spinach.
That's weird.
No, it ain't weird. And to this day, I love spinach. Love it. Love it.
Oh, man.
Love it. Spinach is delicious. I like broccoli. Unlike, who was the president that didn't like that crap?
I don't know. Was it Bush or something?
Yeah, Daddy Bush. He was bagging on broccoli, man. He pissed off all the broccoli farmers.
What do you mean, broccoli farmers?
You don't think there's such a thing?
Uh-oh.
You think I made that up?
What's that mean, broccoli farmer?
Cats that grow broccoli, man.
I didn't know there was such a thing.
Well, where do you think broccoli comes from, man? Like, just drops out of the sky or something? You think the Pope blesses something? No, broccoli is grown. I love broccoli. I like spinach. Yeah, the cartoons when I was a kid had a very good... I'll tell you something else that had a great influence on me. Now, a lot of people don't know it because they grew up in other cities. Here in Los Angeles, we had a guy named Engineer Bill. And Engineer Bill, in the afternoon, he had a cartoon show. And Engineer Bill had red light, green light, which was with a glass of milk. And if it was a green light, you started drinking the milk. Red light.
Oh, yeah, I saw that on YouTube.
On YouTube, huh? Do they have it on YouTube?
Yeah.
Yeah, and if it was a red light, you stopped drinking the milk. Green light, you drink it. Every day, you'd have kids all over L.A. sitting there in front of their TV set with a glass of milk.
Yeah, now we know that it's dairy and causes mucus and pneumonia.
Exactly. So, all right, so we'll be back here in a world-famous Phil Hendry show. Well, at least I drank the milk when I knew that it was good. Now when I know that milk, I don't drink milk anymore, and I just don't. All right, we'll be back, and I'll tell you why I don't drink milk when we come back. World-famous Phil Hendry show here and philhendryshow.com. Libyan rebels
Radio,
reject African
for
Union
Patriots,
ceasefire plan.
By
oh,
Patriots,
me.
It's the Phil Hendry show.
Sorry.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
You know, it just got me to thinking now because I was talking to the guys. Sam's here from Medford, and talking to the guys on the line, and Bud and Robert. When I was looking at this, I looked at this Engineer Bill YouTube tape, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, Engineer Bill, everything on those little kids shows that we grew up with, that I grew up with in the 60s, it was one continuous commercial. It was, now kids, remember to tell your mom and dad that you only want the, oh yeah, International House of Pancakes. Yeah, look at this, a big stack of blueberry pancakes. Tell mom and dad you want to get some pancakes this weekend. International House of Pancakes. Okay, now, it's time for red light, green light, and you know our milk, it's the best milk, it comes from Borden's Dairy. I mean, everything, man, boom, boom, boom. It was always tell mom and dad.
Yeah, until they want to have your mom and dad buy it.
Do you think?
Yeah, well, you're an idiot, they already know that.
Shut up, man.
Easy. Of course, Robert, what?
Well, I just thought I'd state it.
All right, well, you're stating the obvious, but the point is, everything was a commercial. Now, Engineer Bill, you know, nice guy, but, and then... Then I saw, and these are things I never noticed as a kid. When you're a kid, all you want to do is go see Engineer Bill on a Saturday, right? When he's going to be at some personal appearance.
Yeah.
And he goes, okay, kids, now this Saturday, I want you to come visit Engineer Bill. I'm going to be at, they worked this guy like a dog. I mean, here it is Saturday, his day off. They had him starting out at 10 o'clock in one place, like, you know, Northridge. At noon, then he goes down to West Hollywood, and then at 2 o'clock he's in this place, then at 4 o'clock in this place, at 6 o'clock, they had him all day Saturday. Engineer Bill is shagging his rear end all over town.
Probably, yeah, passing out International House of Pancake blueberry certificates.
I can only wish, I can only hope. And then, if he did a personal appearance at the International House of Pancakes, you got one fat kid rolling out of there, man. Because that guy would get a kid to do anything. Well, I shouldn't say that.
Oh, man.
Well, you know what I mean. So they did. They worked those guys like crazy. But I saw this thing, this guy's saying, and don't forget, kids, have your parents do Borden's milk and then go to the International House of Pancakes. And, okay, what are we going to do today? Oh, we're going to have something, something, something. And remember, Nestle's Quick goes great in the thing. And then, I mean, not a 30-second period went by before, boom, here comes another commercial. Wow. No wonder kids' shows were huge. And then they just backed off of them. Why'd they back off?
Probably on account of the government told them they couldn't do it no more.
You think so?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I remember seeing none of them.
I'll bet you anything, man. Some of that protect the kids stuff that came out in the 70s and 60s where they went, you know, there's too much crap can programming for kids, and one of them are all these kids shows where you guys are selling them all this stuff. Because local kids shows, Bozo, you know.
Oh, Bozo.
Yeah.
Goes without saying, Bozo.
Yeah, Bozo was...
Bozo.
All right, Libyan rebels reject... Notice how the conversation ends when we say Bozo.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to die.
Why?
You don't want to ask. Libyan rebels backed forcefully... I'm kidding around, bud, okay?
Yeah, you're talking like, what, Bozo going to... Bozo going to have you off?
That's right, man. Bozo's going to have me offed. Libyan rebels backed forcefully now, away from Engineer Bill and Bozo, to Libya and civil war. Libyan rebels... backed forcefully by European leaders, rejected a ceasefire proposal by African mediators on Monday because it did not insist that Muammar Gaddafi relinquish power. Oh, whatever.
What, man? I want to find out about that.
Who cares? You know what? Something tells me that thing's going to be going on for a long time. I don't want to talk about it.
Why?
It's just going to be going on forever, man. I don't want to talk about it. Here's one. As the unemployment rate, currently at 8.8%, has started to decrease, employers should be cautious workers don't jump ship for new opportunities. Over one-third of employees, 36%, hope to leave their jobs in the next 12 months, according to a survey by the insurance company MetLife. The study also showed that 47 employees reported feeling very strong loyalty to their employers, down from 59% in 2008 when the downturn began. Why do you suppose... those feelings of loyalty decrease? Well, because when you realize that your employer has not the same amount of loyalty to you as you to him, you very rapidly begin to realize, you know, what kind of game this is, man. You start reading the handwriting on the wall real fast. All this loyalty for the company, you realize they'll fire your ass real fast, man, to get that bottom line fattened up so they can keep a couple of vice presidents employed. But employers may not be aware of their employees' decreasing loyalty. Of the employers surveyed, 51% said their employees have very strong loyalty to them. Think again there, Charlie. Half of employers said the same when the survey was conducted in 2008, so it hasn't changed at all. From 2008 to today, 2011, employers are still clueless about their employees and their loyalty. And that's very significant. But again... you'll notice if you treat an employee well, the employee will treat you well. So in 2008, when they were feeling really good, and now the economy goes to hell in a handcart, and they're saying, you know, these guys can go burn. Why? Because they've been getting their asses fired, or they've seen their fellows fired. Well, there is the sound of the marching tambourine band, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. Our show is produced by Jason Rantz, technical director. Is Rick Johnson and our associate producer, Dan Northcraft. We thank Fred for stopping by tonight from Medford, one of our top-notch engineers. He's made everything sound absolutely great for the next 12 hours. I'm sure it's going to be fine, Fred. It's going to be great. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Again, don't miss us at philhendryshow.com. See you tonight.
Phil Hendry.